our memories. Won't you open your Bible this evening for a little Bible study? We'll ask you to go to the book of Isaiah. Ask you to go to Isaiah chapter 24. And we'll go as time allows, and it may not allow me to go all the way through what I'd like to. There's 23 verses, and in this 24th chapter of Isaiah, I'd like to talk really about them all, but I'll hit a few high spots here. What's been in the news lately with the Haiti earthquake and the Chile earthquake, you might say that the whole planet Earth's been undergoing a lot of shaking, amen? Somebody wrote some kind of foolish song some time ago called something about there's a great shaking going on or a great shaking coming. Well, they don't know the half of it. And in Isaiah 24, to try to set a context, is a little hard sometime, but in chapter 23, you have the Lord pronouncing judgment, pronouncing woe upon a city called Tyrus. And then when we get to chapter 24, it jumps really all the way over to the millennial reign of Christ. Now that's in the future from where we're at tonight. We know that. It might even go a little bit further into that reign, or even could go even past that reign. I'm not sure. The time setting, I'm not going to claim to know, except I know chapter 24 is a millennial type future setting. That would mean the Lord has jumped over in Isaiah all the way over the church age where we're at tonight, all the way before Christ was born, till the church age ends with the Lord coming back for us in the rapture. And I'll talk with you about it just a little bit here. The previous chapter was a setting here of Tyre. If you want to see something interesting, I'll just get on this before I get into the actual chapter. If you'd studied the history of Tyre, you would find out that it is a good picture and a still existing picture of God's prophecy of judgment coming true. If you go with me to Ezekiel chapter 26, and we're going to get back to Isaiah, I'm deviating now. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 26, and we'll pick up a few verses in it. Here we have another prophecy concerning Tyre. It was in the setting of the time that Jerusalem fell. Tyre was rejoicing over a fall of Jerusalem, and yet God promised judgment upon Tyre. And if you pick it up in Ezekiel chapter 26, pick it up with me in verse 3. Now it's Wednesday night. I hope you brought your Bible, you use your Bible. Verse 3 of chapter 26. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, break down her towers. I want you to watch the words now. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. Now I want you to move deeper in the chapter and pick it up with me in verse 12. Verse 12. And they shall make thee a spoil of thy riches, make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. By the way, this was a great maritime center of great trade, all riches. It was a rich, powerful place, Tyrus was, when this prophecy was made against it. And says, make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay, watch the statement, they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. Look, verse 14, I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now let me give you a little history here. Here's a prediction of their judgment. They were a peak city of commerce at the time. They were very powerful. And yet God told them he was going to bring them down. Now history tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, that conquered Jerusalem and took them away to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar came against Tyrus. Now Tyrus was a double city in this sense. Part of it was on the land. And then here was the ocean, and it was like an island in the ocean, the rest of the part of the city. It was part of their defense when if they ever got beat back, they could retreat back out to, as it were, the island city. And of course, the ocean was like a moat, and the enemy could hardly come against them without being picked off. Now, that shows you why the words in the Bible are so important. God predicted a prophecy of judgment against them, and notice what he said. He said, I'm going to scrape her dust from her, in verse 4, and make her like the top of a rock. Babylon came in, Persia followed later, and finally Alexander the Greek came against the city. Now, under the first invasion, the city on the land was pretty well destroyed, but they couldn't reach, as it were, the city on the island, and it survived. But as these other kings came, Persia, and especially Alexander the Great, the Greek, they took the timbers, just exactly like it says in verse 12, of the ruined city on the land, and they put them in the water, and they scraped the dust of the old city, the dirt, and they built a causeway all the way out from the ocean shore to the second city at the island, and they destroyed it exactly in detail, like is predicted here in the book of Ezekiel. Even to the place that it says here, they would scrape the dust and it would become like a flat rock where fishermen, just like the verse said, a place to spread the nets upon. You understand net fishermen? How they have to dry out the nets, how they have to put them out, and it became such a place. You can still check it out, even in modern times, how God's prophecy came true concerning Tyrus. Now, when we go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 23, God pronounces the judgment. Ezekiel gives more detail on it in chapter 26. And what God says is going to happen, no matter what. They thought their safety net was the water, that they could go out and they could preserve themselves on the island, as it were. And yet God said that we're going to take the timbers and we're going to scrape the dust, and you'll become like a flat rock. That's exactly what these kings' armies did, to build a causeway out to the island to destroy Tyrus. Now, when we get to chapter 24 of Isaiah, we have God telling us something else big. This is kind of shocking if you look at it, and I can't take time to read all the chapter, but what I'm saying to you today is you and I are living in an exciting time. We're seeing a lot of things build up. I want to jump ahead and say this. I like what the girls were singing. We have peace and we have joy and we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us we're not to have a spirit of fear. So when we read a chapter like this and see judgment coming and bad things going to happen on this old earth, it's okay. It's okay. The Lord said it would happen. And in the midst of it, he can still take care of his people. Amen. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 24, let me get you to pick it up with me in verse 1. This is a scary verse. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste, turneth it upside down. Remember these words now. Turneth it upside down. And scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Drop down to verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed. Why? They've transgressed the laws. They've changed the ordinance. They've broken the everlasting covenant. Do you think God's got an issue with earth? When I'm speaking of earth, I'm not talking about the dirt and the trees. I'm talking about those that live on top of the dirt and cut the trees. Amen. I'm talking about man. And God's got a controversy. And here's what he says. The inhabitants of the earth, he said, a time's coming, I'm going to turn the earth upside down. And he tells here in verse 2, it'll be equal for the priest and the servant and the mistress and the buyer and the seller. Everybody's going to be involved as the inhabitants of the earth, is what he's saying. If you move on a little bit deeper in chapter 24, pick it up with me in verse 13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree. I said there was a shaking coming. Says it's going to be a shaking as of the olive. You know, that's the way they harvested the olives. They went up to the tree and they shook it and it fell. I mean, man, they could shake off the ripe fruit off the olive tree. And as gleaning grapes when the vintage is done, he's telling them something they know about. As he talks about a time the earth is going to be shaken. Drop down with me all the way to verse 18. I don't have time to do justice here. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Do you ever imagine yourself down there in that earthquake in Haiti or in Chile? You see the, just what we see on the film. I wouldn't want to be there, would you? I can think of the earth splitting open and people falling in it and all of that bad, bad stuff. And the Lord says something big is coming. There's a big shaking coming. And it says the earth's going to be moved exceedingly in verse 19. Look at it in verse 20. And the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. What? The transgression? That's its sins, my friend. Going to be heavy upon it. And it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day, it's a special day now, that the Lord shall punish, I want you to watch this in verse 31, punish the host of the high ones that are on high. Who is that? You say, well, that's the politicians and the kings. No, 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 it's not, because look down the next line. And the kings of the earth upon the earth. There's a crowd up in the heavenlies that you and I don't see that God's going to punish. And there's a pile of people on the earth, powerful people like kings that God's going to punish. Come, listen, I don't know all about the high ones on high. I don't know if the UFOs or something else is part of it, but God's got a, he's got a beef, if you please. He's got a score to settle, if you please, with a crowd up high. And he's going to settle it one day. Look at it down in verse 23, last verse of the chapter. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed. Generally, when something's ashamed, they hide their face. The sun is ashamed. Is it going to hide his face? When the Lord of hosts shall reign. Wait a minute. When's this going to happen? It says, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion. We know where that is. Now, there's a heavenly Mount Zion, but there's one over in Jerusalem. And here it says, and in Jerusalem, and before, watch the next word, his ancients gloriously. I don't know who all the ancients are. I don't know if it's some resurrected folk like King David. I don't know where it's a host in heaven. I'm not sure, but God is saying they're going to witness the time I unveil my arm and deal with planet Earth. And I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to deal with them. Now, let me just say, there's a shaking coming. Verse 13 revealed it here, shaking like an olive tree. Verse 18, the foundations do shake. And as we look around today, you know, we use the word shake, you know. I'm all shook up, Elvis said, remember? Yeah, I was not a fan of Elvis. Don't know much about him. I do know he said something about a hound dog one time and something about some white shoes one time and something about being all shook up. We use that word a little carelessly, but here God's using it in a judgment sense, in a judgment sense. Now, we look around today, we're seeing man-made organizations shook up like never before. We got all kind of examples in the world. How about the business and the economy? Is it shook up today? It's a little different too, folks. I know they're trying to talk it back up, and I hope they can maybe do some good. But basically, man, all we're doing is propping up and putting Band-Aids on things. The whole patient's about to die. That's what it amounts to. It's putting a Band-Aid on a cut throat. That's what's going on. It's not going to work. You look around today, things are shook up. The auto industry shook up. Boy, Toyota shook up. But a whole bunch of them. The government owning some of them and so on. You see shakeups all the time. I saw a flash of news where one of the Russian coaches got fired because his team didn't do good in the Olympics. People get shook up every kind of way. States are shook up right now. State of Florida is hunting more money. You better hold on to your billfold. All these other states are too. The post office is going to quit delivering your mail on Saturday. And various other things. Raise the postage, of course. What we're seeing economy-wise as it shook up is we're seeing all nations getting together. It's the one world plan. As Greece is about to go under financially, we and other nations are going to try to hold them up. You see, anymore, the plan is that put it all together and none of us can drown. The truth is, all of us can drown. And the truth is, I'm thinking some folks may have that planned. I think they want to kill the dollar, bring in the mark of the beast. And you say, don't that scare you? No, I'm hoping to watch that from way up high. But things are being shook up. Shook up everywhere you look. But no surprise to God. Is that a surprise to you that it'd be no surprise to God? He said over in Luke 21, there'd be distress of nations. They'd have perplexity. Men's hearts would fail them for the things that was coming on them. That sort of thing. You read Revelation chapter 6, you got the white horse of false peace, the four horsemen that show up. First one's a white horse, false peace. That's right close to where we're getting right now. Only thing between us and that, I think, is chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation, and I believe in chapter 4 the church gets caught out. But the second horse in Revelation chapter 6 is a red horse, and that's war. Is war building? Have you watched any news? What are we going to do with Iran? What's going to happen? All that stuff. And then following that, you got a black horse, and the black horse is the famine horse. And you know what happens in a busted economy? You know what happens in the aftermath of a war? It's going on around the world now. Folks get hungry. Folks starve. There's a shakeup coming. Man-made organizations are shaking up. The planet itself is shook up. Don't tell me the weather's normal. I don't believe it is. I believe it's abnormal, brother. I saw on Fox News there just a little blurb last night, night before, whenever it was. They asked the intellectual, isn't the earthquakes getting more regular and worse? And they said, oh, no, this is normal. At the time they said it was normal, they were showing a graph. And the graph was going up and going up and going up. Don't believe your eyes. Believe what they tell you. See? That's what your lying eyes, you know. We tell them it's not getting warmer, it's getting colder. But, this is global warming we've been experiencing this winter in Florida. You know, that's kind of junk. But with all that said and done, the planet's shaking. Mike Pritchard and I took coffee break together over there this morning for a few minutes, hid where nobody could find either one of us, and joking a little bit, not much. Anyway, he was telling me, I didn't see this, but he was telling me that NASA over here, with all their fine-tuned instruments, made the statement that the big, and it was a big one, big earthquake in Chile, was so big that it actually tilted the earth a tiny measurement on its axis. How about that? Did you just notice what we read right here in Isaiah, where the earth is going to reel like a drunk man? Yeah. It's going to move out of its place. Verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. You say, is that coming, preacher? Sure, it's coming. Say, how do you know it's coming? Because the Bible says so. Do I know exactly when? No, I don't. But it's coming. It's coming. The planet is in a shaking thing. Did you ever read Romans chapter 8 where it says about around, what, verse 22? It says there, the whole world and groaneth. The whole world, the whole creation groaneth in pain, groaneth in travail. The earth is groaning, folks. Go out to the seashore and pick up a seashell. Did you ever do this and hold it up to your ear? And you say, hear the roar. You know what you're hearing? You're hearing an earth complain. It's a groaning. Any of you last night sleep in the corner of the house where the wind whipped around the corner and howled? I kind of liked that. It reminded me when I was living in a house you could see through the walls. But I heard it just a little bit outside my window last night. Did you hear that? It's howls. It's a groan. It's groaning together in travail until the glorious liberty of the children of God, until God comes back. And Peter called it in the regeneration, when the things are set right. But the earth is groaning now. It's telling us something. Something's happening. Something's going on. I could mess with you a little bit on that. I don't have much time. But I've talked to you about the Mayan calendar and their prediction December 21st, 2012 is the end of the world with them. They even have a, if you've seen some of this stuff on the History Channel, it shows the ball field out there, big as our football field, where they played ball. And it's got brick stones, side of the wall. I mean, it's walled in with stone walls, high as these walls of the church. And they've got goals, round goals, like a basketball hoop would be. And the sport they played was to put whatever they had for a ball through the goal. Now, played different than maybe soccer and different than basketball, but the same thing was scored whenever whatever the ball was went through the round goal. Now, that game they played was picturing what they predicted with their calendar when the sun, represented by the ball, comes through the Milky Way galaxy, where we live, by the way, and where it comes through and finally goes in the dark hole, that's putting it in the goal. And that's the end of the world in their prediction. Interesting. Really interesting. I don't have time to park on it too much. That's pagans talking about that, by the way. But right after World War II, and I probably shouldn't say this, knowing somebody may have me on the internet, but after World War II, about the end of World War II, there were some pilots and planes that flew up to the North Pole on a mission to do some geographical work for the United States over the North Pole. And in so doing, if you go there today, your compass will not work after you get close enough to the North Pole, because that's the magnetic center. And so it throws things off. So for them to do their work, they had to draw it out like draftsmen, geographical, like drawing a map and drawing the longitude and latitude and all that, draw it out on a grid, whatever you call it. Anyway, draw it out. So these pilots was doing that, flying over and doing this. Once their instruments quit working, they had to do it by hand, and they made a discovery. And it's been a big secret ever since. I know somebody that contacted the Pentagon and asked if what I'm fixing to tell you is true and couldn't get a response out of them. Here is what those pilots said. They said, we made a discovery that the magnetic pole was moving and was no longer geographically the center, but was moving. The geographical center was here, and the magnetic pole on his pole, and there is a magnetic pole on the earth, and it was moving, and the great fear was that once it moved so far that suddenly, almost without warning, the earth would flip. Did you read this? Did you go with me in verse 1? Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down. Did you read that? Is that where your Bible reads? Did you get on over there where it's going to reel to and fro? You say, when's that going to happen? When God says for it to. But there is some interesting clues that what God has said in Isaiah chapter 24 might not be as far away as you think. And if it's not that far away, he said some other things in this book that's an encouragement to me, and that is that the saved are going to be with him. And then it won't matter which side the earth is up or down. But there's some judgment coming. Something sad is about to happen. Could NASA be right over here? Did the earthquake shake it up enough that it moved a little bit? Tilted a little bit? Well, I'm just asking. Just asking. There's some shaking up coming. There's some shaking up politically. There's some shaking up government-wise. There's some shaking up economy-wise. There's some shaking up planet-wise, nature-wise, with the earthquakes and the storms and so on. But there's some spiritual shake-up coming too. Do you know in Europe even in the early days, and in America certainly, this church was a stabilizing force. It was reverenced. And when I say the church, I'm talking about even some of the worst churches that had fundamental truths in them. Those fundamental truths helped preserve civilization. I mean, even churches that would be wrong in a lot of areas, maybe wrong on the premillennial view, second coming of Christ, maybe wrong on a lot of things, still right enough to say murder was wrong, stealing was wrong, lying was wrong. And those moral principles held the fabric of society, as it were, together. What's happening to society? The fabric's ripped. There's no more standard of right and wrong. There's no more authority. No longer is anything clear cut. It's all relative. It's all whatever some smart lawyer can make a judge believe in a court. And the absolute yardstick of the Bible is gone. And churches are mocked. Any church that stands for anything is mocked anymore. And that's where we're at. The fundamentals used to produce righteousness, and that's why we had laws, good laws. But now we're reaping the loss of that. We're reaping it. We can see it best in our own country in America, but all around the world, we're reaping the loss of morality, the loss of righteousness, the loss of a clear authority in the Word of God and what is right and wrong. We've lost that. Now, you and I are seen as enemies, enemies of the state, enemy of the one world government, enemy of the global society. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take 3 minutes just to say a little more. We're reaping that loss. You see, folks, what you and I believe tonight about the Word of God, about God Himself, about Jesus, about right and wrong, causes us to be misfits. We're not fitting too well anymore. We are becoming the problem. We asked the question here not too long ago, and why they had thousands, as many as 10,000 in one place, what was it, 5,000 or 8,000 in another place, guillotines stored up, waiting to be used somewhere. Georgia, Montana, wherever we pointed out. Remember, anybody remember that? Yeah. Kind of a mystery. You'd kill a lot of people with one before the blade gets too dull. Amen. Not all these thousands stored up. Well, it's also come to light that they're building concentration camps in America, here and there. And if you need a job, you might even apply. They're trying to hire some folks. Now, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to ask you before they hire you. Do you know they've taken a poll with our military to find out how many of our soldiers would actually fire if they had to on American citizens? And the shocking thing was, the poll I saw said about 30% said they would. You know what messed up communism was over there in about the early 90s, when the people got out in the streets and the tanks was coming down toward the Kremlin and toward the parliament, and Yeltsin was sitting in the... Old Mr. Yeltsin, he was a drunk and everything else, but I kind of liked him. I like that cartoon. They had him flushing a commode, and communism was flushing down the commode. I kind of liked his bluntness. They said he was sitting there eating pizza and drinking Pepsi Cola while the tanks were in the street coming, fixing to blow him to kingdom come. The army. And you folks that have been over to Moscow, you know the Red Square. I was in it just not very long before that happened. And the Russian mothers and families went out in the streets and climbed up on those tanks and lifted those lids and hollered at those soldier boys, "You don't fire." Amen, brother. And they didn't fire. Amen. And that's the way communism come down, when Gorbachev went out and Yeltsin come in. Are our American boys going to be asked such a question? Who polled that? Who authorized that poll? Who's building concentration camps? Who in the world? You internet nuts, you go ahead and get on there and you'll find out some stuff. Check Homeland Security. Check some of these places, some of the stuff. You'd be surprised how clear it is when you know what God's book says about things. What is the expectation? Did you ever read the book of Revelation about all the lives that's lost during the tribulation period? all the bad stuff. I know it's getting quiet in here, and you come to say, hot dog, we're going to heaven tonight. That's fine. But I'm telling you, sometime this is going to be fulfilled. And truthfully, I'm praying for the rapture. I'm not planning on being here with it. But if the rapture don't come and some of this stuff begins to develop, there's one thing they've missed in all their plans. Guillotines, concentration camps, one world government. Who's going to resist? Well, I'll tell you who would resist. Bible believers would resist. Sure we would. Folks that know what's right. They may be making reservations for some of us. But I think they're going to be disappointed because they haven't figured God in the equation. And God does figure in the equation. And that's the part the natural man cannot understand. But he's in the equation, brother. Now, if he wants to catch us out with a trumpet, that'll be part of the best thing. And if he asks my recommendation, I'd recommend that. But he took care of the Jews in the land of Goshen when the plagues was destroying the Egyptians. When the flies was in the house of the Egyptians and crawling on their skins, they were not on the Jews. When they went to bed with the frogs, the Jews didn't have a frog in the house. God was taking care of them. God's still in the equation. And there's some bad stuff coming. But the good thing is, it's a big sign saying Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Amen. Now, let me just say this. What do we do in the meantime? We keep serving. We show compassion. We keep trying to do our best and trust God. But I find it so very interesting how the Bible is so far ahead of all that man is planning for planet Earth. Amen. I'll do something tonight. I just mentioned the last two prayer requests a while ago that I was late on. I want the ushers to come. I want to take up a special offering over above what you gave tonight. I know we just finished the radio offering. Just do what you can. I'm not asking for anybody to bleed. Just do what we can tonight to put a little bit more in the plate. Here's why. I want to send it to Mike Mullins on this thing in Chile. On the earthquake, I want to send to Jim Vineyard for this big Israeli thing. He actually believes he's got it set up to where he's going to get the gospel witness inside of the Knesset. That's like the Congress in America, far as the level of its power. And I just want you to dig out something. I want to take a special offering. I've want to help both of those men in this particular project out. The reason I'm taking an offering is we just don't have it laying around. We just had the store-a-thon. We're tight, and money is designated there. I want to take something special just for this two mission projects I've mentioned to you tonight. And I believe it would honor God for us to do that. Drop that in, fellas, for me. One of you men, look up here. There we go. Herman did. All right. When you say, well, the preacher discouraged me tonight. He said the world's fixing to flip upside down. Old Thomas Edison was told before he died, they told him, they said, Mr. Edison, a comet is coming. It's going to destroy the earth. Y'all go ahead and take the offering up and quit joking around. Said, Mr. Edison, a comet's coming. Going to destroy the earth. You know what he said? He said, that's all right. We can do without it. I like that attitude. Yeah, well, listen, God made it. He's going to take care of it. But there is a punishment time coming. There's a judgment time coming. But isn't it good to know the Lord? If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, what shaky ground. No pun intended. You're on shaky ground, brother. I mean, this world is being shook up. And you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the victory. That's the hope. And I'm hoping that you do know him. And he's the answer. Isn't it wonderful to have God's blueprint laid out where you can see what's going on? He prophesied against Tyrus. against the city when it was at its height of power. But go over today and look where the rocks scraped. The prophecy was fulfilled. Every other prophecy that God's put in this book is going to be fulfilled. It may take us a while to discern them down here. Boy, when we get to heaven and have a Bible study, we're going to have the light break then, aren't we? Going to wonder why I missed that. But it's there for us.